At fish fries and ice cream socials, town halls and shopping malls, candidates for U.S. Congress are appealing for votes this week. What's at stake in November is control of the U.S. House and Senate. In the House, Democrats must gain a net of 7 seats to retake the leadership. It may not seem like much with 435 House races, but this year only 2 or 3 dozen contests are competitive. Winning 7 more of those than the other party is a challenge. New York Representative Nita Loewed directs the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, and Virginia Representative Tom Davis runs the Republican National Congressional Committee. Davis says the landscape favors the Republicans retaining control of the House.
I've been through this 2 years ago as chairman of the campaign committee when every pundit in this town thought that the House was going to go Democratic, but the Senate was safely Republican. I feel a lot better about it this time. There are probably only 40 real races as we get down and approach Election Day, and I think the Democrats have to win probably 3/4 of them to take the House. So we feel pretty good at this point, but we need to continue to execute every day and work very hard.
Can the Democrats take control?
Oh, I feel very confident about the Democrats taking control of the Congress. We came out of redistricting really strong. Just look at Iowa, where we have such strong candidates. We can win the House in Iowa. And the economy is working in our favor. I think the public is going to be looking for some real leadership on the part of the Republicans in the House. And they haven't shown any. They're going to want us to deal with the corporate governance issue. WorldCom, Enron, one after another. The public has lost confidence in the stock market, and I think they're going to need some real leadership to do something about it. So I feel confident that the Democrats are going to take back the House.
You know what? One of you is wrong.
Well, I just say this, speaking for the Republicans, the Democrats have been peddling that same tired line every 2 years for the last 8 years, and they've come up a little bit short.
The Democrats have picked up seats every year since 1994, every cycle we've been picking up seats, and now we just have to complete the job. And it's this whole series of broken promises that our candidates are talking about, not only prescription drugs, but the whole effort on the part of the Republicans to privatize Social Security, their actions to go into the Social Security Trust Fund.
I've got to respond to that. I mean, first of all, the only prescription drug bill that's ever passed the House, a Republican Congress passed it. Neither the Democrats had 40 years to pass a prescription drug bill. They never did it. We passed one in the last Congress. We're going to pass one, a real bill this time that falls within budget guidelines, budget limitations. They have a bill that falls way outside the current budget guidelines. There wasn't even a Democratic budget this year in the House. They didn't even put a budget up. So they can promise anything to anybody. Their plan also drives out private prescription drug plans, which means the government will dominate that market. That's the last thing that the medical economy needs at this point. We don't intend to privatize Social Security. There's no bill out there to privatize Social Security introduced by a Republican. The only plans out there are Democratic plans that they proclaim to be ours. We do offer opportunities for people to invest a portion of their Social Security income in private accounts. That has not been translated into a bill, but that was an independent commission headed by Democratic Senator Moynihan that will probably come up in the next Congress. We moved out of the Social Security Trust Fund, paid down $450 billion of publicly held debt in Republican Congresses over the last 4 years. And only after 9/11 and the economic downturn have we started to go back into that fund temporarily. But our budget guidelines bring us out of that in 2 years.
Speaking of which, both of you represent districts not far from the points of attack on September 11th. How do you think that has affected this upcoming election?
As a New Yorker, I have traveled around my district attending more funerals, more memorial services, more wakes. People are still suffering. But when it comes to politics, I really do believe there is no difference between Democrats and Republicans in support of the president in the war on terror. We're not making this a political issue. It shouldn't be a political issue. And we expect that Homeland Security, the bill that is before the Congress, will pass. The real test will be, will we go forward and do something about the better functioning of the CIA and the FBI? But Democrats and Republicans are working together with the president on the war on terrorism. In this upcoming election, I think the real issues will be the domestic issues.
September 11th.
Well, I think September 11th had a profound effect on the political landscape and on the way people relate to themselves and their government. I wish it had been as bipartisan as Nita makes it out to be, but if you take a look at the history, we've had Democrats constantly sniping at the president. What did he know? When did he know it? Calling for public investigations, trying to look back instead of trying to look ahead at preventing future terrorist attacks. I think they've come to understand that this is not points of attack that are going to take them back into the majority. So you see them retreating into this domestic agenda, which they can't even agree on and never acted on when they controlled it.
President Bush is enjoying good numbers in the polls. Will he be an important campaigner here? Will he be able to turn some elections?
I think presidents are always important campaigners, but I don't know that President Bush adds any votes to Republican totals. Three reasons for that. First reason is, of course, the reverse coattails. Presidents win office, they bring people in their coattails. 2 years later, they're not there to sustain them, and you lose seats. That's not present. Bush lost the popular vote. He didn't bring anybody in his coattails. Second factor is the propensity of voters to divide government, which is probably the Democrats' best argument at this point. Although with a divided Senate, I think people are starting to see the gridlock. Third factor, and this is critical, president's popularity. When it's over 60%, the gains are minimal for the party out of power. Now, that doesn't add one vote to the Republican column, but it doesn't create the atmosphere where voters feel they have to vote against the president's candidates to send him a message.
And are Democratic candidates asking former President Clinton to come out and campaign for them?
Well, I really think that the candidates themselves are going to be talking about the issues, are going to be focusing on their local issues. It's the extreme actions of the Republican leadership. It's the lack of action dealing with the economy and the pocketbook issues. I feel, Bob, always make a real difference in the election. We've seen that historically. People are worried.
I feel at this point very confident about where we're going, but I caution your listeners to note that 5 months is an eternity in politics and a lot can change.
Virginia Congressman Tom Davis chairs the Republican National Congressional Committee. Representative Nita Lowey of New York chairs the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee.